According to one banking expert, the collateral shortage is expected to explode this summer. I'll show you why he thinks that, plus how it's likely to affect bonds, the dollar, and inflation. All that on today's Macro Show. I'm your host, Steve Van Meter, and thanks for joining me today. And today we're going to take a look at some pieces by Credit Suisse banking expert Zoltan Prozar, who is considered one of the foremost experts in the collateral shortage repo, overnight repo space. We're going to look at two of his recent reports and then what all this means for interest rates, bonds, the dollar, and oddly, perhaps even inflation. Let's start with this first report. Now, I want to thank my friend who sends these to me. I am not a Credit Suisse customer, so I can't get them, but I do appreciate when he sends them over to me. So those of you who are customers of Credit Suisse, perhaps you can get these. Let's start with the report going back to June 30th, and it starts with, since the Fed raised the overnight repo rate by 5 basis points, the use of the overnight repo facility has increased by $320 billion. Now, half of this came from a drop in pre-existing reserves. Now, keep in mind when he says reserves, he is referring to customer deposits. This is we've looked at this before. It's money on deposit at banks. $80 billion came from GSEs shifting cash from their unremunerated accounts, and $40 billion. This is the one that confuses me. I'll explain why. $40 billion from reserves freshly minted via QE. So this is what doesn't make sense to me. Is the overnight, well, the overnight repo rate was 0%, and the reserve or the interest on excess reserves paid on reserve assets, the byproduct from that QE swap, used to be 10 basis points. So the idea that you take a 10 basis point overnight reserve and swap it for a zero interest rate overnight reserve, that doesn't make any sense to me. And now that the reserve assets are being paid 15 basis points or 0.15% is the interest on excess reserves, and the overnight lending rate from the reverse repo facility is 5 basis points or 0.05%, it still doesn't make sense to me why someone would swap 15 basis points for 5 or even 10 for 5. Doesn't make sense to me at all. If I could talk to Zoltan, that's the question I'd ask him. Maybe it makes sense to you, doesn't make sense to me. And the remaining $30 billion came from the drop in the Treasury's general account. Now, foreign central banks moved cash from their unremunerated deposit accounts to the overnight foreign repo pool, which suggests that the Fed adjusted the rate on the foreign repo pool as well. Now, we don't know this, but he suggests presumably 5 basis points such that the interest rates on the two facilities are aligned. So money on the move and generously repriced reserve repo facilities will reduce money funds and foreign central banks' interest in treasury bills. Now, this makes perfect sense. Is if T-bill rates are below 0.5%, 0.05% or 5 basis points, and I why would I buy them? I would simply take my cash and go to the Fed's facility. This makes perfect sense. So let's continue on with what he's saying here. Others with hoards of non-operating deposit at banks. So if you think about this, I want you to think about this from a collateral shortage issue. What is the issue? There's a shortage of T-bills. So how do you make people that have T-bills want to not have them? Well, you give them a more attractive rate somewhere else, and then they'll get rid of them, perhaps forcing those who need them to buy them. That's what he suggests as we look forward here. Others with hoards of non-operating deposits at banks, non-operating deposits, customer deposits, will have to buy bills instead. Aha! So there you see perhaps collateral shortage solution. The net impact on this will be banks losing deposits and reserves. So you can use those two terms interchangeably, reserves back deposits. Deposits are get turned into reserves. What he refers to as sterilization, which is what happens when rates on collateral providing facilities from the Fed are set above rates that are available in the bill market. So we saw this before when the foreign repo pool was priced too generously relative to bills in 2019. How will money funds and central banks reduce interest in bills play out? Well, that is the question. If the rotation from bills to reverse repo won't happen quickly in real time via sales, it will happen, this is key, over time, and so a bit slower as bills mature. So if what he's suggesting here is if people are upside down in their bills, which we'll see on the next report, there's a reason this will be a little slower than some have anticipated. but it will happen. In turn, if the rotation happens through maturities, so people that just hold their bills to maturity and then take their cash to the Fed's reverse repo facility, as opposed to outright sales, we can figure out precisely how long it will take for the rotation to run its course and the amounts that will be involved. In other words, we can confidently gauge how high the use of overnight repo could get, and on the flip side, the amount of reserves the banking system will lose to a generously repriced reverse repo facility, and whether these flows would be large enough to disrupt the rate market dynamics. So he says, we're going to get into this in the future, but let's look at this last paragraph, and then we'll go on to the July 1st report. Looking at the weighted average maturity of government money fund holdings, the rotation will fully run its course by the end of August. And so this is how we know that the reverse repo is set to explode in the months to come. So we're looking at a summer where a trillion of reserves will move from banks to the reverse repo facility, and where a trillion of deposits will move from deposits to bills. Ongoing QE and a decline in TGA balances due to debt ceiling will offset some of these drains, but it's worth exploring whether the net flows will risk a change in the behavior of the lender to next to last resort and the buyer of next to last resort this summer. So now let's take a look at his July 1st report. And we continue on. There are two ways generously repriced reverse repo facility can sterilize reserves. One, money funds increase their net yields, meaning when you look at your bank account, you actually get paid more interest as the money markets are getting more interest. So that's one way, which if you're watching your money market rates, that's not happening. By passing on the gift from the Fed and pull money away from the banks and into the reverse repo facility. Or more likely outcome, money funds rotate out of treasury bills as they mature and into the reverse repo facility, in which case someone with a bank deposit will have to buy bills instead. Both examples lead to a decline in reserves and an increase in reverse repo usage. So they're talking about bank reserves here and an increase in the reverse repo usage. But the former is occupied by a higher assets under management at money funds, and the latter isn't. The latter shows up as a rotation from bills to the reverse repo facility, which, as you'll see, as you already know, I think is going to happen. So which of these two flows will dominate in the coming weeks? We think the latter. Money funds don't seem to be passing on the spoils of the repo facilities. We already know that. So net money fund yields, as he points out, are still near zero. So if money funds move from banks, it will chase bill yields higher, not money fund yields higher. So we're already seeing a little bit of short-term rates increase. And so then he goes on to say that's how this gets sterilized. So let's look at the next piece here. Is the next step is to figure out how big is this going to get. So I just want to clarify, pause for a moment. So some of these T-bills are underwater that the money funds have because this repricing of the reverse repo drove yields up a little bit. So rather than sell at a loss, they'll just hold them to maturity. So if you have an 8-week, for example, T-bill, and it's week 4 and you're upside down a little bit, well, you just wait 4 more weeks and you're made whole, and then you can go and tap the reverse repo facility. So let's go on. The next step is to figure out how much space the money funds have to rotate out of bills into reverse repo. To answer this, we start with the data on money fund holdings as of May 31st, which show the use of reverse repo facility by individual money funds. Knowing their use, we know how far each fund is from the $80 billion per counterparty cap, or how much space they have to rotate out of bills into reverse repo, again, barring Fed Chair Powell raising a limit, which he has the express authority to do. Next, we compare the available space to the amount of bills each money fund holds and choose the smaller of the two. Remember that we're after the maximum usage without inflows. So he goes on to say, as of May 31st, the largest money funds had capacity to rotate out a trillion of bills and place that much more money into the reverse repo facility. And that is a lot. On the second chart, which we're not going to look at, he shows the bill holdings of these money funds will mature by August 31st. And that is a lot of money coming in a very short period of time. Not including these charts are second tier money funds that hold $350 billion in bills, some $300 billion of which they have capacity to replace in the overnight repo. Thus, we're looking at $1.3 trillion of flows from bills into reverse repo by the end of August. So these estimates as of May 31st, but today is July 31st. Can we gauge how much rotation money funds achieved during June? Well, the Fed's overnight reverse repo data, ignoring the surge in yesterday's surge in use, which was quarter end housekeeping, which was driven by quarter end flows, tell us the use of the facility is up by $300 billion since the reverse repo rate hikes, only half of which came from a decline of reserves and deposits, i.e. rotation from bills to overnight repo from deposits to bills. He says there's a trillion more to go. So this is only set to get worse. Now, what does this mean for interest rates? What does it mean for the dollar and inflation? Well, let's look at some charts to see if we can figure that out. So let's start by showing here what happened. We had this end of quarter jump, and now it's kind of normalized around 700 in the 700 to 800,000 range here, but this is expected to go back to trillion and even higher. So if you're holding bonds or looking at bonds, we've talked about the relationship between overnight repo and treasury yields. So here we have 30-year yields. We can see as the overnight repo in blue goes up, yields tend to go down. As repo stabilizes, you see a little bit higher move in yields. As repo persists, yields come back down. And then you see this was the Trump election that drove inflation and yields higher, but that didn't hold because reverse repo went up, sending yields back down a bit. Then as the repo problem went away, yields went up, and then due to markets not liking higher yields, yields slowly began their move down. They bottomed, perhaps not the bottom, but at least in the recent cycle bottom. Reverse repo goes up, interest rates go back down, and then reverse repo calms down, interest rates go up, reverse repo starts to rise, yields go down. So if this is going to continue higher, the likely direction for treasury yields is lower. Now, how about the dollar? Because a lot of people, the common view is the dollar is going to lose value and lose a substantial amount of value. Well, how does it relate to the overnight repo? Well, you see as overnight repo goes up, dollar is going up. The dollar continues to go up as repo is being used here. As repo goes down, the dollar starts to dip. Overnight repo up, dollar up. Overnight repo down, dollar down. And then you see the overnight repo start to cool off. The dollar just, it goes up, but it starts to plateau. Overnight repo goes up, dollar goes up. Repo goes down, dollar goes down. Repo's going up, dollar's not reacting, suggesting the dollar could be lagging here and start to make a very large move higher. Now, I want you to think about why that is, because what is overnight repo doing? It's taking dollars from the system and parking them at the Fed. So it's removing dollars from the system, creating a shortage of them, which means the dollars remaining could be worth more, which would explain why when we see a rise in overnight repo, we tend to see the dollar rising, suggesting the dollar could have a major move higher. Now, what does this mean for inflation? Well, I want to show you the next chart, but I want to caution you, just because two things look like they're related or correlated doesn't mean they are. And a lot of times people make charts and then they show a correlation that perhaps isn't really there. I'm going to let you decide what you think because, well, there's a shockingly interesting view, relationship between overnight repo and the consumer price index. Check this out. So here you see as overnight repo goes up, the year-over-year rate of change, the consumer price index rises. Repo settles down, flattens out. Well, inflation goes down. Repo starts to go up, inflation goes up. You see a little dip in repo usage, inflation calms down, repo goes up, inflation goes up. Repo usage starts to trend down, inflation goes up a little bit and then comes down as the usage goes down. Not much relationship in this place here. All of a sudden, repo goes up, inflation goes down. So a little bit of opposite trend. And now all of a sudden you see repo going up, inflation going up. If this is a legitimate relationship, and I'm not suggesting it is, but again, I want you to form your own opinion. If repo shoots off the screen and there is a relationship here, well, it tells you that the Fed's going to have a major problem with inflation coming soon. Anyways, I hope this show was helpful for you. Again, as always, appreciate all of you liking and being fans, subscribing to the show, and I hope you had a wonderful 4th of July. We'll be back for the regularly scheduled macro show on Wednesday. I'm Steve Van Meter. Buy now. The content of this video is provides educational information only, is not intended by investment or other advice. Materials not to be construed as a recommendation or solicitation by a security financial instrument or to participate in particular trading strategies. Video was prepared by Steve Van Meter. Personal capacity, opinions expressed in this video that do not reflect the view of Alex Financial Advisors Inc. or Steve Van Meter Financial.